Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on our podcast, we're going to learn about lymphatic massage. If you are not already doing this, you need to be doing this. And I have an expert here. So Kathleen is a board certified therapeutic massage and bodywork specialist. She's a lymphedema therapist. She owns Solace Massage Therapy and Mindfulness over in San Diego and is the author of the Plastic Surgery Recovery Handbook. Welcome.
Welcome, Thank you Kathleen. So much. Thank you.
This is so exciting for me to learn about lymphatic massage from a specialist who does it day in and day out because I'm such a huge believer, but they don't ever teach you this stuff in med school. Maybe you didn't know that. We learn about the lymphatic system. We have to know the anatomy of it, but we don't learn functionally how important it is for drainage patterns for the face, the neck, and the body. So what got you into doing lymphatic massage?
Yep. I actually had a different direction when I wanted to go to massage school, but the second I learned that you can perform massage for people after a cancer diagnosis, I was absolutely hooked. My mother actually had a breast cancer diagnosis when I was 9. And that was back in the 80s when, you know, they thought maybe massage would spread cancer. So going back into massage school in the second career as an adult and finding out that I can help people the way people helped my mom when I was just a little girl was really exciting. So lymphedema is a side effect of cancer treatment. And that's when the limb that's close to where lymph nodes were removed for biopsy or chemotherapy or radiation will swell because the lymphatic system is impaired. So MLD or manual lymphatic drainage is the type of massage that you use to help the lymphatic system perform more effectively. And the great thing is that this massage that I was taught to help people after a cancer diagnosis also really helps people after plastic surgery as well.
And I think it's important to emphasize too that lymphatic massage is not just for surgical patients or recovery or cancer. It's also something beneficial for every day. Don't you feel that? I use it in my regimen every day.
Yep, especially on the face in the mornings. Like that's my little beauty secret cheat. If I had sushi and that, you know, and the soy sauce has salt in it, yeah, I get puffy in my face the next day. And just knowing where the lymphatic system is in your face and where to direct that swelling can really help you. Yeah. And it's overall just for well-being. If you don't like even a deep tissue massage, just going in to have a lymphatic drainage can make you feel lighter and more calm afterwards.
It really helps. I remember being pregnant and my third pregnancy and I had this deep tissue pregnancy massage and literally I felt like I peed like a liter of fluid that was just trapped in the extracellular volumes of the body. So sometimes that helps therapeutically to get tissues, to get the fluid back into circulation.
Yeah.
So since this is an audio podcast, if we were to describe out loud, what are the patterns for facial lymphatic massage that you should do in the morning? What kind of pattern would be good when you're putting on your morning moisturizer for people to follow?
Yeah, that's a really great idea. So if we think of the face, think of a line down the middle, like right down the bridge of your nose. And then, so that's where we'd start and where we end is the preauricular lymph nodes right in front of the ear. So you just sweep from the center of the face to the side of the face, center of the face, right in front of the ear. And then that sternocleidomastoid muscle, that muscle, when you turn your head to the side, that it kind of pops out of your neck, right under that is the line of the lymph nodes of the neck. So from the bottom of the ear, just slide your hand down the neck to your clavicle, just down that muscle, and you'll cover all those lymph nodes.
And people always wonder, do they need to buy a gua sha or a vibrating massage tool or a jade roller? What do you think is the best tool for lymphatic massage for facial reawakening?
Yep. So the easiest tool is always your hands. Like you can never forget it. Just a clean pair of hands. But you can also use gua sha. I really like vibration. Vibration does affect the lymphatic system in a great way. The jade rollers, they don't stretch the skin as much as other things, as much as your skin would in that skin stretching stroke, which is really how when we stretch the skin in lymphatic massage, that's how you actually open up the initial lymphatics and let the swelling go into the system.
And people always ask, well, aren't you stretching your skin? And that stretches the collagen, makes you more saggy and droopy. No, it does not. Skin is very elastic, and even aging skin has the ability to stretch a little bit and still do quite well, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. And to be able to get the swelling out of the face is going to reduce the puffiness.
So what things can make the face puffy? I'm going to kind of focus on face and neck. I'm a little biased, but maybe we'll talk about the butt a little bit. We'll talk about the butt too. But in terms of your face and your neck, what makes puffiness or swelling?
Yep, it's most of the same thing that would make your body puffy. So whatever foods, the big culprit, unfortunately, for a lot of people is salt. Just because salt is bringing more fluid in the system, because that's how it does in the body. So definitely, like I said, the sushi face, if you're eating things that have salt, it's going to make your face swell. You'll see it in the eyes first, if you get puffy eyes, and then just natural. Like if you're getting 4 or 5 hours of sleep at night, that's not enough sleep and your face is going to show. It's going to show on your face.
Most probably. Also, how about sleeping flat? If you don't use a little bit of head elevation, is that going to get more fluid up in the face and the head area? Yeah. So a couple.
Yes, because
using a couple pillows for head elevation, at least one.
Yeah, the body depends on gravity to drain the parts of the body that are above the heart. So your face has to be above your heart at least a little bit in an angle. And they actually find that, they found that that's true because we're sending our astronauts into space and into the space station. And they're finding that they're getting these puffy faces because they're not in the natural gravity that we have on Earth.
That's so interesting. You would have never even thought of that, right? You think of space travel, that's the last thing I'm worried about. But like waking up puffy, they must worry. They really need static massage.
Yeah, that's actually the big thing that they're worried about with long-haul space travel is the effect on the lymphatic system. I think that's why we haven't gone to Mars yet.
And even on the brain will get edema over time too. And the sinuses will plug up and the eyes will be more blurry, everything. So definitely sleep with a little bit of head elevation. So limit your salt. How about alcohol? Is that going to make your face swell?
It's a huge culprit, isn't it? We all know. Yeah, you can tell. It shows on your face, unfortunately.
It does. It gives you water retention and bloating, and the tissues retain all of that. I think, of course, facial fillers are another huge cause of facial lymphatic swelling because the filler is a very hydrophilic product. It attracts almost 1,000 times its water weight. It also puts pressure on fat pads and in certain muscle zones where maybe the body's not used to having those space-occupying fillers. So are you noticing new problems with facial filler patients?
Not especially. Usually I'll see a facelift patient for lymphatic drainage after the surgery, but it's usually just in the first 1 or 2 months.
Okay, but no particular facial filler issues, huh?
No, maybe San Diego's might be a little more laid back.
Well, when you come to LA, there's a whole population of Yes, there's like a doughy filler face look where cheeks are slightly overfilled, under eye fat pads, of course, can be the under eyes when they're overfilled look very bloaty. And the tissues just look different than normal tissue. And the human brain is so accurate. It can look at a face and just realize that something is off in the proportions or the swell or the turgor of the tissues. So I'm seeing so much more of that. How about lip filler? What do you think of lip filler?
I probably have exactly the same feelings as you do for it. It seems the more research I read on it, the more I'm like reticent to ever do it myself because it stays in your body. It can migrate. So yeah, but I wonder if that's why this whole move towards the gua sha on the face rollers, the ice rollers, maybe that's why this face filler. And now we're seeing, you know, a delayed interest in this because people are seeing that doughy filler face in themselves.
I think so. I think we're seeing filler migration from too much lip filler. I love a good lip filler when it's done correctly and it's in the body of the pink portion of the lip. It looks great. But I think certain fillers bleed beyond the lip and they just look a little sausagey. So sometimes, you know, that can certainly affect how your lip muscles move and talk. And sometimes that looks pouty and sexy, but often it can look like distorted probably. Tell us a little bit about the neck because I see so much neck tension going on with us looking at our cell phones and being at home in Zoom meetings and at school, homeschooling for 8 hours a day. Are you noticing people getting massage and neck muscle issues?
Yes. Yeah, that's actually one of the signature parts of my massage. Everybody gets a neck massage. As part of their lymphatic massage. We see, especially if you're having plastic surgery, like a Brazilian butt lift or a tummy tuck, you're not sleeping in your normal position. If you're getting a facelift, you're sleeping at that 35 degree angle. And the neck is the first one, like your trapezius is telling you how angry it is. So definitely you need the back of the neck massage.
Mm-hmm. I've also seen massage done for neck tension where patients have so much tension in their neck bands that they see tight platysmal bands, but they're also seeing voice problems because their voice just kind of seizes up. So laryngeal and neck massage are really beneficial for relaxing that component of the aging neck too. In your book, Plastic Surgery, here it is right here. Thanks for sending me that, the Plastic Surgery Recovery Handbook. You must be so proud to have written this. This is such a great book for someone going through the process. What was the motivation to write this book? Were you noticing people were not healing optimally?
It was my clients. So my clients, with the massage that I give is very relaxing. I use hot stones. And if they are, and usually they're tired, they're getting 4 hours of sleep a night after surgery. So they're falling asleep on the table, except they were having so many questions for me that I could feel them really tense and wanting to ask all these questions because they just wanted to get the best recovery that they possibly could. So I just said, you know what, I'll give them this at their very first visit. And a lot of them will come back the next week and say, oh, I'm halfway through your book. This is so instructional. And a lot of things that I would just forget to tell them. There's a lot of ways that you can reduce swelling. And I cover them in the book. There's different ways that you should wear the faja, the compression garment, and your foams to start to reduce fibrosis. And there's different things you could do at home to help prevent and then heal your fibrosis after your liposuction. I wanted to put them all in the book so my clients would have that resource.
So what, talk about fibrosis for people who don't know. What do you get when you see scar development and fibrosis?
Yeah, so that happens usually after liposuction. It depends on how much liposuction you had to which part of the body. But your abdomen, so say you had liposuction in the abdomen, it'll start feeling rough. It'll start feeling like tough, leathery, like putty feeling. And there might be some waviness in the skin. And that's something that you can definitely reduce with massage. When I went for my certified lymphedema therapist training, fibrosis is something that also happens with people with lymphedema. So I use the techniques and the specialized foams that we do as lymphedema therapists. And I was starting to apply them to my clients after plastic surgery and getting the same great results.
Amazing. So Kathleen, tell me about cupping. Is that a useful modality for fibrosis?
Yes, I use cupping. I don't use the traditional Chinese cupping, which uses heavier pressure for a longer time because that leaves a little red mark. And I don't want any plastic surgeon giving me a call and saying, why are there red marks all over my client that just had surgery? I use a lighter version, which is called lymphatic cupping. So it's just gentler pressure on the skin, and it helps to reduce the fibrosis, soften everything up. We also use this negative compression in a lymphedema client that has fibrosis. One of the interesting things that I found is in that first week after surgery, after liposuction, some clients have this hypersensitivity in their skin where they can't, some of them can't even stand to touch them, their own skin. So they'd be very uncomfortable if I put even that light pressure of manual lymphatic drainage. And I found that when we put the cups on those parts of their body, it's much more comfortable because we're actually using negative compression and pulling the skin just slightly away from the body.
And then talk a little bit about compression garments. Like I see all of these ladies wearing waist trainers and really tight things to cinch in their waists. Does that really work? And isn't that bad for your overall lymphatic drainage for long periods of time if you wear a waist trainer every day or a tight Spanx every single day?
Yep. So compression is essential after plastic surgery. It's essential after liposuction. You have to have some compression, and compression is essential after lymphedema to help reduce the swelling. But again, we're talking about how much is too much. If you're wearing a waist trainer, often if it's months after surgery and someone's wearing a waist trainer, I want to ask them questions about why they're doing it. Are you doing it because, you know, just the way you wear shapewear, that your body looks better in the waist trainer? Is it impeding your ability to take a deep breath or eat a full meal? Those are concerning. There's actually research out there that if you have more of 20 millimeters of mercury compression on the abdomen, it's going to impair your legs, the veins in the legs' ability to return blood back to the body from the legs. So you're going to end up having effects on your legs, possibly having your feet swell up. And we don't want to have that. So I want to know why people are wearing the waist trainer so long after surgery, because if they have an ongoing swelling problem, I want to directly address that intelligently and not just kind of like slap a waist trainer on it.
Well, nowadays women are wearing waist trainers just because they think it'll, you know, scoop their waist in even without surgery. Okay. Is that a bad idea to put a waist trainer on just to kind of feel more, you know, slimmed and train? You can't really train your waist to be that tiny unless you wear it for years, right?
No. Yeah. So our grandmothers all wore girdles. So I get it. I mean, we have a history of women putting themselves into garments to change the outside appearance of their bodies. But as soon as you take the waist trainer off at night, you know, everything comes tumbling out and you're exactly the same shape you were as in the morning. So
yeah, I think women should be real careful with that because it does cause, like you said, if the veins don't drain properly, you're going to get varicose veins, leg swelling, and also even prolapse of your feminine organs like your uterus. And, you know, we don't need that as the ligaments that suspend the pelvic floor get more weak and you have all this squeezing pressure on the waist. Things will drop down through the path of least resistance. So you don't want your uterus to fall through. So be careful with that. You also mentioned some other things that improve healing, like hyperbaric oxygen, LED light therapy, and even Manuka honey. Talk a little bit about those maybe.
Yep. So there's research behind all of those. Getting in the hyperbaric oxygen chamber is going to improve wound healing because it's going to give a percentage of oxygen in your body to heal the wounds. Manuka honey I really like that. I didn't believe it, but a physical therapist friend of mine really liked it and shared some research with me that there actually is this natural product that doctors, like one of the surgeons that refers clients to me, if there's anything wrong with the tummy, with the belly button in the tummy tuck, he'll just be like, why don't you put some honey on it? And there really is healing properties in this honey.
That's very true. And it's special honey. It's harvested in a very special manner.
Yes.
And it's definitely known through the ages to assist with wound healing. And that's when it's directly applied. Of course, you can eat it too, but we're talking about directly applying it to the wounds. And LED light therapy with red light therapy is also shown to improve the healing, the metabolism of cells as well, right?
Yep. And so absolutely. And one thing that I would say is you have to make sure that the brand that you're buying is a trustworthy brand, and it's not just something that's approved by the FDA as a heat lamp. It has to actually be the right frequency to deliver those healing results. And but there are, you know, legitimate products on the market, and your esthetician, like your beauty professional, would be the one to show you the correct brand to buy. You really can't just buy it off Amazon and wish for the best.
Exactly. They can be actually damaging to the retina. So you have to make sure that they have FDA approval. And even big companies like Neutrogena have taken their LED blue light things off the market because of potential consumer risk. So be very, very careful. And then other devices out there that I see people using on their faces, like the New Face. Have you seen New Face, which kind of gives electrical stimulation to facial muscles? What do you think about that?
I think women are desperately trying to preserve their youth. And I think a better way to do it would be to go to a board certified plastic surgeon and see what is the right path for you, rather than spend that money buying products, you know, not specifically this product that you're talking about, but there's a lot of products on the market that have a lot of promises. And you just need to see what's best for you to do, like some intelligent, have an intelligent group of products and practices that you do. I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing, you know, like work on the face, TENS unit or New Face, but just let yourself have some kind of a system that you use that you trust.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm not sure that there's a ton of science behind it, but people ask me all the time about New Face and also face yoga. Are you a believer in face yoga or doing these exercises to build muscles and prevent aging? Yeah.
I've seen it. I know I've met Coco Hayashi. She's one person that really, really promotes face yoga. But again, I think in the end, you're going to book a date with a facial plastic surgeon and make sure that you have someone you trust.
That says it all. In the end, Mother Nature wins.
Yes, absolutely.
And sometimes you have to do a little nip and tuck. And there's, you know, it's one of the things that I think if you're planning to age gracefully, you use the tools in your armamentarium. In the beginning, that's great skincare. You know, as you reach your 30s, 40s, and 50s, it's going to be injectables and threads, lasers. And then eventually, when there's too much laxity, you just need to consider facelift and neck lift surgery. I think that the popularity of facelift and neck lift surgery is definitely changing as society moves towards no downtime and less people are excited to go under the knife, especially during the pandemic. What's your overall impression? Has facelift and neck lift been, you know, something that's still continuing to grow and thrive, or there's some resistance to that? And wait, I just have to ask, is that a kangaroo in your, I'm like, am I seeing things? Is there a
No.
Oh, it's her puppy.
It's an Italian greyhound. Yeah.
Okay. For those of you guys who are listening, Lena's on a Zoom meeting and there's this beautiful creature behind her. And I was like, is that a kangaroo? It's a greyhound.
A tiny kangaroo. I have actually seen more interest in facelift over the last year. I think it's because of two things that have smashed together at a really opportune time to really look into this surgery or some kind of facial rejuvenation surgery. Everyone's on Zoom and that's all they can see is from the chest up, and you're looking at yourself for hours and hours on Zoom in a way that you wouldn't look at yourself in the mirror. And also when you are recovering from the surgery, when you go out, everyone's wearing a mask. So I used to be able to tell when the facelift client was in my office, and now I can't because she has a mask. And if it's over a week out, you look just like everyone else in your mask and, you know, your hat for sun protection.
I did not even think of that. The waiting room here.
No, it's an amazing time. If you want to get a facelift, it's a really great opportunity. Plus, more surgeons are doing Zoom meetings, so you can get an online consultation much, much easier than you could maybe at this time 2 years ago.
That's very true. And I think that there will be a rebound to more and more surgery because we reach the limitations of what filler can do after you've maintained and refreshed, and we don't want to use so much filler that you become, you know, having abnormal facial distortions with too much volume. So sometimes you do just need to tighten and trim. But I think lymphatic massage is definitely one of the fountains of youth and one of the things we can use every morning when we wake up to perk up the face. When you're asleep and your muscles are flaccid and not moving, fluids do pool in the facial, tissues more so as you age, right? Is there any special techniques for around the eyes? Because that's one of the areas that really needs to pick me up in the morning.
Yep, it's a very sensitive area. There's lymphatics that are right at the top of the nose on either side, kind of when you put, if you put sunglasses, that's where they lie on the nose. So you can direct towards there. There's also the lymphatics at the ear. I would use a very, either the ring finger or the pinky finger. So not a lot of pressure, but you can actually start at the middle of your eyeball and then just gently pull the skin of the your upper eye just gently out as far as it will go and then relax the stroke. So just a gentle pull in either direction. And then underneath, people will really get those underneath bags. So that would just start at the nose and you're gently pulling the skin out and you're feeling that cheekbone underneath your underneath the pinky finger or the ring finger, and then just gently pull in tiny little strokes until you get to the front of the ear.
That's right. So start medial, stroke all the way out lateral.
Yep.
And then how about the buccal fat? I've seen people do very interesting intraoral massage with one finger in the mouth and massaging the buccal fat. Do you think we trap a lot of fluid in the buccal fat pad?
Yeah, and because you were talking about all the complications that fillers would have in the area, I think there's a lot going on there that you could possibly be concerned about. I really like intraoral massage. As soon as you get over the hump of going like, why am I massaging inside my cheek? It's really, really valuable, especially after plastic surgery. So what you do is take one finger and put it inside like you're up on your gums of your upper gum, and then take the other finger and meet it on the other side of your face. And then you're massaging the same way with your inside finger and your outside finger, again, from the medial towards the ear. And just play around with that and see how effective you can get, because it's hard to massage with just MLD on the cheek, but it's much easier if you can have
the counter pressure.
Yeah, the counter pressure from the inside.
Exactly. That's probably effective also for the masseter muscle for people who have masseter TMJ issues to learn how to do that massage right there. Are there any special techniques for the jowl fat pad? This is this little bugger that hangs on the sides of the mouth and as you get to be in your 40s and 50s is really not fun. How do we get rid of jowl edema?
Yeah, if I knew how to get rid of jowl edema, I'd put everyone out of business. Unfortunately, that's just an area. But again, you can use your gua sha, especially if your gua sha has a little bit of an acute angle on it. You can angle from right at your chin and just rub it up your jawbone, both on above the jawbone and then below. To kind of push. And then again, the area is we're starting medial and then we're going to that angle of the jaw and then down the sternocleidomastoid muscle to the clavicle.
That's a great technique. And that just really helps that gravitational descent of fat where fluid tends to accumulate. Submandibular glands is another area where if you feel like you have a little bit of a double chin situation, you'd be surprised how often it's related to dehydration and the salivary glands getting like congested with a little excess thick mucus that you need to strip them out. And usually you would do that starting again in the middle and milking backwards. Perfect. That's perfect. Have you noticed any issues with Kybella, the fat melting shot that permanently dissolves fat when it's injected into the submental area? Of course, it disrupts the lymphatics and people swell like a little bit of a bullfrog there.
Yeah, usually I only see people after chin liposuction. They're not specifically coming to me after their Kybella shot.
So yeah, well, that similarly to chin lipo, it disrupts the tissues, the fat sort of turned into a liquefied state, and some of that trace fluid has to get milked out. So yeah. I definitely recommend lymphatic massage for Kybella and neck lipo patients. Are you a believer that ice is good for the face? Some people feel that ice is good for swelling, and I've heard other conflicting stories or thoughts that ice impairs swelling improvement because it vasoconstricts and shrinks things down, like lymphatic drainage.
So it will vasoconstrict, but what I'm enthusiastic about is you're not going to put an ice cube against your face for 20 minutes. So it's going to be a stroking, you can stroke with the ice cube, and it will help to just manually vasoconstrict everything, which means any additional swelling coming to the area is going to get, it's not going to be able to come as fast. I do it after I run. If I run in the morning and it's hot here in San Diego in the summer, my face will get really red and a little bit puffy. And I found, I make a nice recipe. Let me think, because it's winter. I haven't made it in a while. If you brew some chamomile tea, and then you put some cucumber in it, and then you let that cool and you put it in an ice cube tray overnight, you can just pop the ice cube out in the morning and it has that nice cooling cucumber, cooling chamomile, and then you can rub that all over your face, and it helps to take down that swelling. And I particularly, if I'm hot and I'm sweating after exercise and then I jump out of the shower, my face is still sweating, and if I put sunscreen on, it would just, you know, drop off. So I need a nice dry skin. So that's how I use the ice for that. And then if you use, you can always use a cold spoon, the back of a cold spoon on the eyelid for just a minute or two. You can also put some cold tea, like you have a tea bag, and then you put it on the lid wrapped around the spoon, and that will help to reduce if there's puffiness in the eyes.
Those are amazing tips. And you also are specializing in aromatics and meditation. Are there any really good aromatics that you like to use that perk up the face? Or just they're good for mood, I guess. So when you say aromatics, more like fragrances, or is that more with herbal kind of therapeutic medications? Yeah.
So I'm an aromatherapist with the essential oils. I would be like rose hips. There's some things which are good on the face, on the skin, but I would want you to consult with an expert before you wanted to put something directly on your face. But definitely aromatics. Geranium is really good, and it's good for reducing swelling. And the queen of all aromatics is lavender. It helps to reduce stress after plastic surgery and just reduce stress in general. I have a really nice lotion that has lavender in it that I use. I give myself a back rub. We were talking about neck and shoulder pain. I give myself a little neck and shoulder rub before I go to sleep every night. And so I have that nice lavender is right there to lull me into a sweet sleep.
Well, how nice. Well, Kathleen, it's been such a pleasure chatting with you and learning all about plastic surgery recovery and lymphatic massage techniques. I'm so glad we connected on Clubhouse. For those of you guys who haven't heard, Clubhouse is a pretty fun place to meet people. And it's a new app, and we're doing some meetups there. So hopefully we can do one again. Kathleen, where can people find you on your various handles?
Yep. So I would suggest that you follow me on Instagram. I'm at Kathleen Lissen, just my first name. I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm on TikTok as Kathleen Lissen. And I give little short videos with tips on plastic surgery recovery.
Amazing. And don't forget to check out her book too, The Plastic Surgery Recovery Handbook. This is a wealth of knowledge and information. And thanks again for joining us. That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram doing amazing things with people's faces. It's Beauty by Dr. K. That's D-R-K-A-Y. And our website is the same. It's www.beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find my lovely antioxidant lavender mist. You're going to love that, Kathleen. I better send you some to try. It's so good. And it's like an instant spritz of antioxidant protection when you're going outdoors and you don't want to put on more layers of sunscreen. I love it. That's it for now. Stay beautiful, relaxed, and massage those lymphatics. Bye, guys.
Thank you.